Penguins of the Crew 3 podcast. Rose Ruckman with me as always is my co-host Chris.
Hey.
And Ricky is out this week fighting the good fight, telling everyone screaming at clouds to play more removal interaction.
That's right.
So we'll talk about that a little bit more coming up, because I don't know if you are aware of this, Chris, but it turns out fixed cascade isn't quite as fixed and might be better.
Not as fixed. Not as fixed as they thought it was, that's for sure.
Yeah. Before we get started, though, here's a little quick story I forgot to tell last week. My wife, my adorable little wife, right?
Oh, so adorable.
She comes home from thrifting, and she says, "Baby, look at this cute little vase I got. It's tie dye. It's from the 70s. She's like, I think it's from like the 70s. Mm-hmm. It's like this big, perfect for like her little shelf she has in the living room, right? She's looking for little like knickknacks and tchotchkes to put on, right?
Right.
A little tiny little like tie dye vase. And she's like, and I got it for $5. And I said, "Oh, that's pretty cute. That's a good pickup. That's a good pickup." Well, so we've had that for like a month now.
Right.
And the other week, she goes to Five Below. And she walks into Five Below and sees several.
No.
The exact same little tie-dye vase for sale.
Yeah, yes.
For $2.
No. Yeah, that is the world we live in, unfortunately. I've seen that a lot. We used to go to the farmer's market and be like, "I've seen these exact tomatoes at Sam's Club." Like, these are not from your farm. You went and bought these last night at Sam's Club and are now trying to resell them under the guise of a farmer's market. So I've unfortunately seen it all in my time. So tell Merrily I feel for her.
Yeah, so be careful when you're thrifting out there, everyone.
Also careful if you're out there on Magic Twitter.
Yeah.
Because there's gone a lot. The guy with the Jujutsu Kaisen anime profile picture, he's had a heck of a 2 years. You know, first, he was an epidemiologist, right? Recently, he was a foreign policy expert, right? And now he's come to give you his opinions on Pioneer. And all three games he's played has told him that the Discover deck is the most broken thing to ever hit a Magic table, you know?
Yeah.
And it needs to be addressed immediately on their Christmas ban list.
Well, don't forget, this is the same format that couldn't hold a removal spell to get Winota banned.
That's true. Yeah, we're 1 week in, the sky is falling, or it's the best format ever, depending on who you ask, right? Like, the modern players who are like, "Oh, I like to play a bunch of cards and do stuff," are like, "Oh, this is pretty cool. I've enjoyed it. I've been having fun, just like I have been."
Yeah.
Maybe that's me. These combos still win by attacking, except for the Quintorius version.
Yeah.
But if you're playing the Geo Appraiser, you still have to attack with your creatures, so...
Yeah,
you know, it's strong.
I think people just need to once again learn to adapt. I think, like, especially the appraiser version of the deck list, right?
Yeah.
It just feels like a really good version of the Garuda deck that was always bad.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're 1 week in. I mean, the deck could be overpowered, right? I mean, I think it's too early to tell. I just think that the 1 week of sample size, somebody may came out with some adjustments that may make the deck just, oh my gosh, sure. You know.
And we'll talk more about this when we get to the challenges and stuff like that, because obviously, big story.
Yes.
The finals were both versions of the Discover deck.
Yep.
Of the big, like, several hundred player showcase.
Yep.
Important note also, the modern challenge did not fire on Sunday.
No. No, it didn't.
Yeah.
It's falling. When we talked about that for Pioneer, people were like, "Oh no. Doom and gloom, you know?"
That's right.
So Modern's officially over. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, trading your
Modern Horizons 2 cards, you know?
And buy Ixalan cards. I don't know.
You can't buy them. They're not out there. Yeah. good luck. I wanted to buy some reasonably priced singles, and I could not find them. All of the cards are over $10, it looks like, because, you know.
I want to tell you, Chris, everyone who's been trying to Merfolk, they've been saying that Tashana's Tidebinder is the truth.
It is the truth, and I should have pre-ordered them and believed my own saying. I didn't think the card would be modern playable, but it is. And so, unfortunately, the card's too strong. And so that's one of the cards that's like over $10 that I'm just like, well, golly.
You're welcome for the one I gave you, then.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yes, I am just like my fables. I've been given the card. Tashana's Tidebinder, it's a hot one.
Yeah.
Also, so, by the way, that card, I did a lot of like, okay, let me be the bad guy and be the combo deck over the weekend.
Sure. Right?
I played a ton of Explorer. I played a lot of God Pharaoh's Gift. If you're, you should stay off Twitter, but if you want to log in for one day to check out my God Pharaoh's Gift list, or I think we put one last week, I've got a new one for Arena Best of One. The deck is very competitive. I've been having a ton of fun. I win way more matches than I lose, right? I don't think I'm like a 55 or 60% win rate, something
gnomes,
like that.
Gnomes
are insane. The gnomes are better. People will try and Geo Appraiser you, and I'm like, I've got 14 1/1s to block with, and I'm going to make a bunch more next turn. Like, you know, you win the game and you get to combo a turn faster. So I really love God Pharaoh's Gift. Then I was just like, these decks are stupid. Like, all these Geo decks, all of the Discover stuff is dumb. Mm-hmm. I could just beat this with a mono black deck.
Yeah.
And also beat Grease Fang because Timuret, the double black Theros card, exiles cards from graveyards.
Yeah.
So I just played mono black hate bears that topped off with the Bat God and Gary. Crushed people. We just destroyed because we just thought seized people and took away their cards and then played actual removal spells and then just played mono black creatures and killed opponents. And the same thing you could do with Merfolk. Tashana's Tidebinder solves a lot of the problems that you'll see with Karn, Geo Appraiser, right? Stops that from having abilities, stops Quintorius from having abilities. So like Tashana's Tidebinder solves a lot of your Pioneer problems if you're having them.
Yeah. I need to get back to Magic. I've been actually the last couple days. Before I started getting back into Hearthstone the last couple days, I've been just on the WoW grind again, trying to catch up on content. But I've been playing just a little bit of Hearthstone
the last
couple nights.
Tell us about your Hearthstone adventures.
Yeah, I mean, Ricky and Nate got me back in a little bit just because they've been talking about this one. Essentially, it's Demon Hunter Storm. Because obviously Ricky jumped in because Cowboy set, right? I will say right now, Hearthstone has this amazing idea where they're called catch-up packs, and the first one you get, and you get a few of these just for like coming back to the game.
You get a lot. You get like 80 if you just download Hearthstone and you've downloaded it.
Well, like regular packs, right? But like you get a couple of these catch-up packs too,
right? Sure.
And these catch-up packs are, I believe, they're every set but the newest standard set. I think they're everything but Outlaws of the Badlands.
Sure.
Showdown of the Badlands, rather. And you start off with the first one you open is like 40 something cards. And then every subsequent pack you open, it like gives you less and less cards.
Right.
So, I bought a bundle that was like 20 of those packs and 10 of the new set for like $20 or whatever.
Yeah.
And like my account was pretty stacked after that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you're guaranteed legendaries. And I wish I knew the math on them. I knew them last week, but I've been enjoying some my favorite root beer, my favorite soda that's made in Shiner, Texas. I've been enjoying some of that. So it's hard for me to remember exactly, but I think it's like the first five, you're guaranteed X number of legendaries, something like that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, after I looked at because I would play the list that Ricky and Nate got me on, which is like the Naga Storm list built around, it's a 3-cost Naga. It's a 1/5. Mm-hmm. And it has an ability when you cast a Naga spell, deal
2 damage.
2 damage to a random enemy.
Yep.
And then draw a card.
Yep.
And then it switches to when you cast a spell after that. And then it'll flip back after you cast a spell. So the deck is like, play a bunch of spells that will just end up being cheap or free.
Yep.
And then you play like the cheapest Naga possible.
Yep. You get cost reduction effects in Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Like your hand, because it's a digital game only. So
yeah, and then like some of the spells you can play for free are just like boost your character attack. So it's like you one that will just give your guy your Illidan +4 power for free if you've drawn a few cards that turn.
Yep.
And then you have free ones that are just like +3 damage to put a card back. I think I swung for like 12 with Illidan in one turn.
Yep.
So I've seen
a couple times. I've seen that because there's a weapon also that you can play that does something. It reduces your crouch cost. So that plus two of the pump spell. You're attacking for a lot. So
yeah. So I've been playing that. I unfortunately to craft a few cards, we had to jump into the legendary supply a little bit.
Yeah,
which is a shame because of course now that I've looked at more meta lists, I'm like, we dusted a couple legendaries that are pretty relevant, but whatever. Sure. Right? It's Hearthstone.
That's how it goes, right?
You'll get it back eventually, right?
That's exactly right.
So I've been having just a little bit of fun with Hearthstone, but I think it's about time to jump into Magic. Everyone's been having fun. I mean, besides the Discovery decks we're going to talk about again here, there's been a lot of sick brews. I've seen some sick-looking standard lists, right?
Yes.
There's some people in the Discord showing off a standard list. I believe it was a standard list. that you could play in Pioneer 2, essentially, which was just like, yeah, we're going to play four of Adel. It was like a Boros list that just stopped the curve at three. And you're just like, yeah, we're going to play Adeline and the new three mana card that makes gnomes.
Yeah.
And we're just going to like beat face. And I'm like, this deck looks sick.
Yep. Absolutely. It's last episode too, isn't it? So we get to break out the theme song.
It is. Yeah, we'll be able to do that. Yeah. So, I mean, like this Ixalan, when it was announced, I was like, whatever.
Right.
Spoiler season happened. I'm like, yes. Okay, all right.
Uh-huh.
Now the set's here. This set is wild. This set is hot. I had the idea this morning, and I think I'm going to figure out how to put it together. But I think this year we'll probably do we'll introduce the idea of the Crew 3 Awards.
Okay.
And we'll have some categories, you know, like best new creature, creature, whatever.
Oh.
We'll do some new and just like just cards in the format, right?
You know, Ricky loves the award shows,
of course. And yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if LCI wasn't the best Pioneer set this year.
Spoilers, Ruckman.
Yeah,
you gotta wait. You gotta tease the people a little bit.
I'm just saying. Look, the people are gonna vote. I'm going to let the people vote
People
on
are going to vote.
Just,
all right.
I'm just saying.
When does the Academy vote? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
I'll be the Academy. How about that?
Yeah.
I can be
So I'll build up a ballot and we'll send it out here in the next couple of weeks. And we'll do that probably at the end of the year.
I'm already the law. So I
you're
should
already the
be
law.
The,
that's correct.
Academy.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I exactly like you. I had written this off when it got announced. I mean, I think on this very podcast, I told these here listeners that this set was like, I don't care. I'm ready to go back to Lorwyn, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, Ixalan, not my favorite. Man, if I could go back and slap myself in the face.
If I could turn back time.
If I could find a way. If I could go back and punch myself in the face, I would. That's how strongly I was wrong. And again, we didn't know. Just the announcement. I was not a big fan of first Ixalan, right? Just based on the announcement, I had written this set off, was not a fan, and they have put out some banger cards.
Have you seen the music video for If I Could Turn Back Time?
Definitely not.
It's just Cher dancing all over a naval battleship with a bunch of sailors.
Of course, I don't know what I expected. I don't know what I expected. Of course it is. Of course it is.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about some events because I don't know if we've actually talked about this, but the former preliminary on Friday is now a challenge. So Pioneer has three challenges a week now.
Ooh, let's hope we can keep it up. We need the Pioneer Army out there.
I mean, I think we're doing it because, I mean, they also bumped up the player cap required to launch Saturday and Sunday. So we're making it. And I forget the exact player count, but the player count for the showcase that was on Sunday was several hundred players. So let's dive right on in, shall we? I mean, these first two events, I'm going to be honest – nothing super crazy, nothing super exciting in them because I think a lot of players were hiding the tech. You know, they were like, we'll show up with some okay stuff. But we're gonna save the new hotness for Sunday's showcase.
Of course we are.
So let's get started here with Friday the 17th. Our top eight here, we're going to start with Steelers 42 on Gruul Aggro. We have Sam Sherman on seventh place with Nykthos Ramp, mono green, of course. Kappa 16, sixth place with Is It Phoenix. Jack Ninem has fifth place with mono green devotion. Fourth place, Eggy Benny with Rakdos Midrange. Playing our build here, playing Archfiend of the Dross with Shielder of the Apocalypse, of course. One copy of Molten Collapse. No new Doomblade in this list, though.
Okay.
Third place, Hotaro on Boros Convoke. And then second place, Jabberwocky on Rakdos Sack. And first place, Mr. Toolshed with Azorius Control. And this is the Kahira build of Azorius Control here. So featuring new cards, Get Lost, a card that I'll be talking a little more about later because that card's going to be pretty good.
Yep. I want to mention 14th place.
Okay, what you got in 14th place?
Simic Merfolk. Merfolk. We're right, Merfolk.
Let's talk about this first place, this top eight, then we'll come back down to Merfolk.
All right, I'll let you talk about this top eight.
Well, I mean, I just think it's kind of interesting that, like, you know, our Rakdos list doesn't have the much hyped up, look at our new Doomblade effect. This card's so good. Look at how, oh my God, this is the best Doomblade variant ever. And it is not here. Okay, to play, go for the third Heartless Act.
Yeah, true enough. I just think they couldn't get a hold of them. You know, it's a hard uncommon to get a hold of, you know, supply, demand, all that stuff, you know. Uh-huh. They'll be in there next week. You know, it'll be in there.
This Boros Convoke list, like I respect Boros Convoke playing Thalia in their list now. Let's talk for a second about Warden of the Inner Sky. Mm-hmm. So obviously, right, I wish Ricky was here to defend this card because I'm still a little iffy on this card.
Right.
I people are saying this card, right? Like, if you go turn one this card into your like Thraven Inspector plus Fuldaren Epicure or Thraven Inspector plus another one drop on turn two, you could put a counter on this guy. Like the play here is right. If you go like Inspector plus Epicure into like Demolition, then on turn three, you can have this guy with like Flying and Vigilance. And right. Like, that's all really cool. Cute.
Right.
I think I just want to kill my opponent.
Yeah, that's not the draw I'm afraid of. Like, I'm not going to tell you this card's bad. What I am going to tell you is, like, when people were going in on this card, it wasn't the Boros Convoke that I'm afraid of, where we go, like, turn one, Epicure, turn two, Gleeful Demolition, Ornithopter, Thraben Inspector, and then a 4-4. And, oh, look, I just drew two more cards. I'm going to convoke those all out next turn. And then next turn, you are
dead. Yeah.
I'm attacking you for 35 damage. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm much more afraid of the turn two Loxodons and turn two Knight Errant of Eos's, which happen not too infrequently, whether or not you've got the Gleeful Demolition or not sometimes.
Yeah.
Just depending on what you can put out there. Those are the draws that I'm afraid of. And I think this is wrong. Like,
I think the deck getting some reach here with Flying and Vigilance.
Yes.
Like, that's true. Nice. That right. Is solid, right?
If we need that to get around something, I can see what you're
saying. And sure, you know, that scry is going to help us find our recruits that we've dropped. It's going to help us find our Surge Goblins that we're not even playing anymore, right? Yep. But I still, now that we have to race big dumb elephants and a bunch of nerds with rocks, I think we just got to go fast.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with you in that. I'm not sure this list does anymore. Like, I think you are... I'm a turn faster than the combo decks, right?
Yeah.
And I can put pressure on you and you don't have or play enough interaction because I'm going wide. I think that's where we're at. I'm not sure this card does that, right? They're just going to kill your thing in response to you activating it and you wasted a bunch of time investing in a creature that's dead and or not good enough. So,
yeah,
you know, again, I'm with you, but Thalia unfortunately doesn't stop the Geo combo.
Yeah.
They're going to discard to make treasures and then still cast their Geo, and then, you know, again, yeah, you do get them if they're on the
Liquidatorius.
Well, I'm thinking the Eldritch Evolutions.
Sure.
But if they just play a bunch of 3-mana clones and Imidane's Recruiter, you could still be in trouble, right? They were the Boros Convoke deck that game. So I am with you. I think the card's fine. I'm just not afraid of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nothing new here in our Rakdos Sack build. In the control deck list, like I said, we're playing two cards and Get Lost. I think this card, we'll talk about again when we get to Discover, how to combat Discover. I think this card is going to be one of the most important spells in the set. And that's the reason why I really hyped this card up when we were making our top eights. All right, let's look at, you want to talk some Merfolk? Let's talk Merfolk. What do we got?
Simic Merfolk. This card, of course, just features...
Played by Hamuda.
Hamuda, a name that we've seen quite a few times when looking at these challenges. C-Note Scout is what I'm going to call it. I'm not going to call it Kenout. I'm going to call it C-Note Scout. Mm-hmm. The new Explore All-Star. This is definitely a card you should be picking up in foils if you get the chance and like foils. This card is hot, hot, hot. It activates the Aguirre combo. It's also a Merfolk, so it also plays really, really well here. The new cards, of course, are C-Note Scout and then Tashana's Tidebinder. Those are the really, really big ones. We also pick up the enchantment Deep Root Pilgrimage. If you don't remember that one, it's one blue, one colorless, and it's enchantment. Whenever one or more non-token Merfolk you control become tapped, create a 1/1 blue Merfolk creature. So unfortunately, it does say one or more. Mm-hmm. But if you have the ability, like our 3-mana Kumena, it says tap another untapped Merfolk you control, this creature can't be blocked. So you could, if you have a bunch of Merfolk that you're trying to go wide, you can build your own Convoke deck because you can start tapping your Merfolk one at a time.
Sure.
To make 1/1 tokens if it's not the right time to get in. And that's an instant speed, I believe, ability. Deep Root does not say your turn or anything like that. So
yes.
You can leave up your blockers, end of your opponent's turn. Hey, guess what? My Kumena can have unblockable as many times as it wants. I'm just going to start tapping my Merfolk in order to make myself a bunch of 1/1 tokens.
Well, there's also, I don't think it topped anything, but there was also just kind of a combo deck that was going off with Deep Root Pilgrimage and like the Merfolk Untappers just built around, just like you just kind of you get like the Merfolk that untaps a thing and either a clone or another one of those, and you just start just going ping, ping, ping. you just twiddle combo,
just twiddle, right?
Yeah.
Vidalcan, this deck is not the cheapest deck. Like unfortunately, this deck plays Vidalcan Hexcatcher, which are up to a few bucks a pop now. Tashana's Tidebinder is new, so it's expensive. Collected Company is holding a little bit of value. Deep Root Pilgrimage is just a few bucks, but your land...
Cavern of Souls also doesn't come down in price.
Cavern of Souls, unfortunately, not losing any value there. But yeah, this deck looks really, really cool. And I think that this deck's stock only goes up as you see more of the fragile decks. As you see decks like trying to compete with the Discover combo decks, this deck rules them all, right? Yeah. We've got Hexcatchers, we've got Tidebinders, so we compete really, really well. We interact really, really well with those decks.
I really like having just the one of Benthic Biomancer here. I think when I was, again, building Merfolk, right, Biomancer is, I think, a card that's going to go underplayed a bit. But I think if you get, like, things like your Kumena going, right, I don't think it's as powerful now, but, you know, even if we played the Merfolk, just put a 1/1 counter on the thing when a Merfolk entered, just having the extra draw ability here with the Biomancer, I think, cannot be overlooked.
Yep. Yep. Makes sense to me. I like the reasoning.
16th place, we have Ivan Drago on Bant Company.
Yes.
This is kind of like, this is a fun list here. We've got 4 Mystic, 4 Llanowar Elves, 3 Fairy Mastermind, 4 Luminarch Aspirant, 2 The Goose Mother, 4 Archon of Myria, 2 Sky Collaboration, 4 Spellqueller, 4 Tashana's Tidebinder, 2 Get Lost, and places the Collected Company here. So here's our kind of, we got a little bit of a Bant Hate Bears list here.
Man, Sky Collaboration, another just key interaction piece to the format, right? The big thing there is not only can we get 4 mana creatures, we can get 4 mana planeswalkers, we can get any like Glass Casket type effects that have been taken in our stuff. Unfortunately, Leyline Binding's too expensive, but I've been hitting a lot of stuff. Liliana's, there's a lot of stuff I've been hitting with my Sky Collaborations while I'm playing God Pharaoh's Gift. I've obviously been super impressed by this card. And then, of course, we've got All-Star, Spellqueller, and Tashana's Tidebinder. There's just a lot of really, really good threes. And so I think it makes sense just to play a Coco list right now with the power of Tashana's Tidebinder, Spellqueller, Sky Collaboration. Those threes are very, very, very powerful, right? And well, I would argue that
Archon of Emiria, I mean, there's so many.
Archon of Emiria.
I mean, Ricky's deck list from last week with the Mono Green Land Hate deck showed us that like non-basic lands are in high play right now.
Yes,
so true. Archon is just going to hit everybody.
Yep. Yep. Hey, if I have Spelunking in play, since I'm the affected player, do I choose if my creatures, if my lands in our play untapped or not? Is that how that works?
You would, yeah.
Something like that? Somebody could explain it to us better, but I believe when two replacement effects
happen, the affected permanent controller chooses.
Yeah, something like the affected thing, whatever that may be. So
yeah,
I'm hoping that's how it works. I would really like my Spelunking to work, but yeah, Archon of Emiria, right? I forgot this text. Each player can't cast more than one spell each turn. Ooh, Discover's looking real rough. You at least got to wait a turn, you know?
Yeah.
And then again, you get your one Discover, no more Discover, no more.
Let's freak out about a combo deck that doesn't lose to silence.
Right. Well, most combo decks lose to silence. Sure. But silence on a stick is definitely could be the way to go going forward here. So, all right. And then, you know, of course, 25th, we've got the Amalia combo, which people thought would be everywhere. Let's move on to the next challenge.
We'll go to the next one. I mean, let's talk about Amalia. It'll show up in another one, but I do want to. There's also Amalia in 28th place as well. So big shouts to one of them was on Witch's Oven, Witch's Oven food build. And the 25th place is on kind of similar to what I kind of pitched. But they're playing things like Graveyard Trespasser and Ronus. Ronus is actually a pretty fun include, since you'll keep your Amalia around. He'll stay around after your Amalia blows up the world, right? And Amalia will let him attack, and then you can use him to give your Amalia trample. So Ronus, pretty solid included there.
Why doesn't Molly let him attack? Oh, because he's a creature with four power.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's right. It's the power one. I thought it was the devotion one for a second.
No, it's the power love.
Power. Yeah. Yes. Fair enough.
All right, moving on to Saturday here. In eighth place, you have Remph on Bant Spirits. In seventh place, we have Ginkgo HS on Lotus Field. Sixth place, Dreams of Ashiok on Enigmatic Fires.
One of our favorites.
Yeah. Fifth place, Wow Claudiums.
Yep. Something Portuguese, I think.
Yeah. On Four Color Rona. In fourth place, we have Herman Hero on Five Color Humans. We'll come back to this one. I'm excited to talk about this deck list. Oh, man. Every time I see the cross, Cavern of Souls, I cry, though. Yep. In third place, Fingers 1991 on Rakdos Midrange. Once again, no Bitter Triumph. Second place, Free My Felidar on Lotus Field. And then in first place, Gracias Portanto on Rakdos Sacrifice.
A classic.
Playing one copy of Tarion's Journal. What is this card? Sacrifice of the creature artifact, draw a card. It only has a sorcery. Two and tap, discard your hand, transform it into the journal. You may cast a creature spell from your graveyard this turn. If you do, it enters the battlefield with a finality counter on it. It is a vampire and its other types. Okay. All right. Cool. I'm in on the journal.
We're in on it, huh?
Yeah. Main board Meathook Massacre.
Main board.
We came to beat Convoke.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
All right. What do we got here? We got five color humans here. We're playing the new Kaitsia Larcenist. That's our fresh pickup here. Flying Ward 1. There's the battlefield. Chooses one target artifact creature the player controls. For as long as you control Larcenist on the battlefield, the chosen permanent becomes a treasure with sacrifice and loses all of the abilities. That's a 2/3. That's good. I like this card.
Heck yeah.
I got these full Manus Riders in my binder, and it's time to cast them, baby.
It's time to get them out here.
I think it is. I really, really think it is. My just don't tell my wife when I buy these Cavern of Souls.
All right, I'll keep it quiet. It'll just be between us.
I gotta start saving for a Disney vacation next year.
Yes, fair enough.
I mean, Rona combo. I'm glad you're still here. Look, yeah, I don't know why the door's still open for you. I don't know who you bribed to keep getting in here. We need better security, but you're here, I guess. Good on you.
They good bribed on the Claudiums.
Yeah, good on you, Lotus.
Man, I keep this is such a diverse top eight, and I keep hearing, you know, we used to hear about how great Modern was weeks ago, so I want to see what the Modern challengers are looking like real quick. Hang on. I'm going to go ahead and look at the Modern challenges and look at the diversity
You might have trouble finding Modern challenges. Let me remind you that Sunday didn't fire.
Oh, Sunday didn't fire.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me look at the most recent Modern challengers and see what the deck spread is like here and just see all the diversity that Modern has to offer the people in case maybe we've got some Modern players in our listener group and maybe they want to play some Modern. We can help them and let them know what the Modern made. Let's see here. Huh. Okay. Let's look at There's something wrong here, Ruckman. Seeing one deck show up.
Oh, really?
There's only one deck. This must be an error. Let me refresh the page real quick. Let me refresh. Click a little F5. A little F5 for the people. Huh. It's still the same deck.
Weird.
Let me scroll down. Oh, here we go. Down, way, way down the page. There's an amulet. You know, Primeval Titan. Remember Primeval Titan?
Yeah, I remember Primeval Titan.
Yes, you got some of those and some Tron here.
Oh.
And those are 2% of the metagame. And then this, what's Scam mean? What's Rakdos Scam? What is that?
That's where, I think the Scam is that you had to buy a lot of Modern Horizons 2 cards.
that sounds like the scam to me. You know what? I'm praying for you, Modern players. I'm praying that somewhere Watsy wakes up and gives you Modern Horizons 2 block again, but with one fewer Modern Horizons 2 card for you, you know? And then soon Modern Horizons 3 will be out, and you can play those cards as well. So that'll be exciting. We're all looking forward to that, of course. And yeah, there we go.
I forgot to mention it with Spirits in the last set. the last event. But Rev here is also playing one. The decks pick up Malcolm, Alluring Scoundrel, which is, of course, our one in a blue flash flyer, who is a looter, right? And then if there are four or more counters, he gets a counter. When there are four or more counters, you can cast the discarded card without paying its mana cost. Azorius play like two of this guy. Look like it's playing one. I think this card is pretty good. Of course, those spirits players do watch out. And remember, just like when we were playing with Warden of the Spheres, you unfortunately cannot rattle chains to save Malcolm, and he does not get bonuses from your Supreme Phantoms or your Shaft guys. So this card, you know what? The deck likes to dig. We need to keep digging. But be careful with your interactions on this card. Also, this might be – look, I love the Ixalan show, like the showcase border, right?
Yeah.
Yo, this Malcolm art's kind of scuffed, though.
Yes. Some of the arts are gorgeous. I love this set so much. And I was reading some of the lore, which was my favorite, because I was like, why did we go back? Oh, they discovered some new caverns because there were some Phyrexian sleeper agents that were hiding inside of some temples. And then they had to break in to get those guys out and kill them, you know, as you do.
Yeah.
And then as they did that, they were like, what are these holes here? That's where lost caverns come in. They spelunked. They went deeper.
And then Will Ferrell said, we're going to journey to the center of the earth.
That's exactly right. Matt Lauer can suck it, you know? That's what we learned there. Hey, this you know, some of these Amalia decks here.
Oh, the Amalia decks. I was going to talk about 10th place real quick.
We can talk about 10th place also, but this is a lot of spells here. Now we're up to 12 spells to play Return to the Ranks, Court of Calling, and Company in some of these decks.
Mm-hmm.
That's baller.
I'm also liking Huntsman's Redemption. That's a pretty interesting pick.
I don't like that with Collected Company, which I'm a big fan of. I think it's close. Yeah. I know there's a guy named Tomber, heavy MTGO user. I see him in the Doomwake stream all the time.
Yeah.
Seems cool. Regular profile picture of a regular person that seems like would be lovely to talk to inside of an HEB. But I'm not a big fan of the Humpson. I think it could be cool, but I like maximum hits with my collecting company, you know?
Yeah.
But I suppose it's the same as playing Return of the Ranks. So I guess if you replace that card with any.
I just think the Huntsman's interesting take here because, like, it's like, hey, we're going to get a little more value off of our cords. But it's playing a little bit of a toolbox build. And then, of course, you get to do that as well with the Huntsman. So I definitely see what you're saying, where it's like, well, this build here, this Abzan build in 19th place for Orner, isn't on Coco. It's just on Huntsman and Cord.
Sure.
It's also playing Thoughtseize. So
that makes sense. Like I said, those are not necessarily, you know, they're non-bows, I guess. So.
Yeah. All right. Ready to move on to the big one.
Let's go to the big one.
I forgot to talk about 10th place. Rakdos Artifact Sacrifice. So
we
have 4 Volnaren Epicure, 4 Blood Tithe Harvester, 2 Vran Executioner Thane, 4 Fatal Push, 4 Gleeful Demolition, 4 Deadly Speed, 2 Shrapnel Blast, 4 Experimental Synthesizer, 2 Implement of Combustion, 3 Springleaf Drum, 4 Oni Cult Anvil, 3 Meat Hook Massacre. So, Karns are getting run off the board because Karns do not stop Discover.
Right.
So, hey, this is kind of cool. I haven't wanted to play some Oni Cult Anvil again. I tell you what. All right, ready to move on to the big one on Sunday.
Let's look at it.
All right. In eighth place, we have Ael Milan 19 on Is It Phoenix. Seventh place, Liu Qin on Rakdos Midrange. Sixth place, Amaz on Rakdos Sacrifice. Fifth place, Katuo 079595 on Is It Phoenix. Fourth place, Matsf 34, Is It Phoenix. In third place, we have Scatter TF2 on Boros Convoke. In second place, we have JMM on Four Color Discover. This is going to be our Geological Appraiser Boy. Just some dumb nerves, some rocks. And then in first place, we have Triosk on Quintorious Discover Combo. All right, let's tackle second place here, then we'll talk about first place. We have both big flavors of Discover here, so let's break them down, shall we? So the four-color Discover deck list is our non-Quintorious build here. This is built on Geological Appraiser. So we're going to be playing four Geological Appraiser, four Glasspool Mimic. Then we're going to mix in some cards like Doomscar Titan to give our board haste. We're going to play some cards like Galta, just to cheat our hand into play, right? And then we're going to play four copies of Trumpeting Cardassar, which is, of course, a big boy with Discover 5. It also gives us some removal to break things up before we get going.
Yep.
This is not – we're not on
– It's a channel ability, too, is the important part.
Channel, yeah.
So that's big because it can kill like a Thalia, which could be right in our dreams, you know?
Yeah. And then we're playing to keep also the combo going. We have Eldritch Evolution, which like Chris mentioned earlier. So we can play Glasswomick and Geological Appraiser as our so Geological Appraiser is going to go ahead and hit Glasswomick or Eldritch Evolution, which then lets us crack our Appraiser to go into Trumpeting Cardassar, and then we get to start working the chain back down. Because Cardassar will find our Appraiser, which will then find, or it'll keep going, but Glasswomick will hit our Eldritch Evolution, which will then let us sack the Cardassar to go into our Galta to just dump our hand into play, right? So then to help speed out the combo, we're of course playing Magma Opus, Creative Outburst, Elemental Masterpiece to make treasure tokens. Mm-hmm. And then we have Bedeck Bedazzle as some removal. To hey, we need incidental removal that we can also not hit with our big Discover spells, thanks to how split cards work. And the same thing with Connive Concoct, where Concoct will help us let us sort of reanimate a creature to start the process all over again.
Yep, and theoretically, you can still play your Appraiser because you're trying to get your, you know, your glass pool mimics, mm-hmm. Or into your evolution. So you have that option to try and go up the chain. A lot of people will just want to cast Quintorius because,
well, the Quintorius is a different list.
It's the other list. Right.
Yeah.
But that list, I think you can still, or maybe that's the list still plays Appraiser was my point.
Yes. This list is still on Appraiser.
Oh, okay. I was wrong. I thought both lists played Appraiser. And then list just also played Quintorius.
Quintorius is, I believe Quintorius is off of Appraiser.
You're always trying to get Spark Double Impersonator.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I was wondering, I thought this was just behind on technology because I thought that I was like, oh yeah, you would just play Quintorius as like an obvious thing. But there's actually a little bit of a difference here that I did not notice.
Yes.
Okay.
Quintorius though is still playing the Cardassar though.
That's what it is. They're still playing the Cardassar.
Yeah, yes.
It discovers for 5.
Yeah, so the other spells people are playing, I think there's a list later, further down, that's playing the Black Virtue as mm-hmm. incidental removal as well. So lots of ways to abuse things here. Now let's talk about the first place list, our Quintorius build here, which I would say that kind of the difference between these two is that the Geo Appraiser is a little more explosive because it does technically come down a turn earlier, thanks to Appraiser being only 4 mana. So mm-hmm. you can turn through this combo essentially if you're on the 4-color build or the non-Quint build. If you're on the Quint build, you're looking at 5 or 6 mana to start going off. So our build for the Quintorius build here is we get to Companion Karuga, which is always powerful, right? Drawing a bunch of mm-hmm. cards here. So we're on 2 Clever Impersonator, 4 Spark Double, 2 Greater Tanuki, which has a channel ability to go just rampant growth us.
Yep.
4 Trumpeting Cardassar, 4 Beanstalk Giant has adventure to go rampant growth us. 4 Quintorius Canned, which, by the way, the tribal, like, African face paint Quintorius art is so dope. So gorgeous, right? Yeah,
very
cool. Playing 3 Consigned to Oblivion. We're playing 4 Herd Migration. We're playing 4 Leyline Binding, 4 Virtue Persistence, that Black Virtue I was talking about, which also, again, can let us start our combo up over again if we just hard cast the Virtue just from having a bunch of big lands into play, right? Mm-hmm. Quintorius here, one of the big differences is the Geo Appraiser is winning through combat damage, whereas Quintorius is just like, Static damage you off every discover that happens.
You deal 2 damage every discover, and the big deal is once you can get the second Quintorius, which is pretty likely. Like I've seen some people do whatever, but you know you're likely to get to 2 because one of your clones isn't legendary.
Yeah, with Spark Double.
Spark Double is the one that's not legendary, right? Yeah. So if you clone and it's the legendary one, unfortunately you get 1, but the idea is you get 2, and then you just do your discover nonsense. Mm-hmm. And at that point, every spell's 4 damage, and that's a lot faster of a clock, right?
Yeah. But
it's pretty much guaranteed because you have whatever is it, 10 cards you can discover into, basically.
So off of Quintoris, as he discovers 4, you have 6 hits. Mm-hmm. You have 4 Spark Double and 2 Clever Impersonator.
Yep.
So.
And then obviously with the Carnosaur, you would hit Quintoris plus or those other ones. So
correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. I don't know if it's necessarily what's the word I'm looking for? Not calculated.
Deterministic.
Deterministic. Thank you. But it's close. I'm not sure if you could get super unlucky and hit like all your Carnosaurs.
Yeah, it's technically not deterministic. So
you could miss.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. But I imagine it's very, very – I imagine it's pretty rare just based on how many non-legendary clones you have, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, interesting. I'm a little surprised the other one got there, but it's the only one we see in the top 8. It's the only one I see in the top 32 just based on the amount of Is It Phoenix. Because Is It Phoenix has a million ways to kill your random 3-2. And if you're – I want to look and see if any of these top lists are playing Is It Charm. If you're not and this combo deck becomes popular – you want to be playing, yeah, Is It Charm. Okay, the first list I click is multiple Is It Charms because I was like, I really think that this hits both the combo decks. You get a counter spell and you get the 2 damage, so you're good against either one. And I'm not surprised, of course, the top placing Phoenix list plays multiple Is It Charms. And the other one didn't, which again, I'm surprised by, but I think that's going to be the difference, right? Is if you're playing Is It Charm in this combo heavy metagame, I think you have a serious leg up. And I really like Is It Phoenix in this metagame.
I think Is It Phoenix is going to be such a great choice because you have the removal package, you're already mainboarding, and then you can board into things that will interrupt the Quintoris decks as well. I think the biggest thing about these decks is, they've got some big hitting guys, but these decks are still pretty all in on the combo. Like, there's no real, it's like Grease Fang where it's like, I can't Parhelion, but I'm going to smack with a bunch of cats, right?
Yeah. The Venga bus is coming. And it's not stopping, you know?
Yeah, and so I think it's really – like, Phoenix is such a good pick for this meta right now. I think that Azorius Spirits, you have a rough Phoenix matchup, but, like, you have all the interaction because they're going to have to tap out, right? Like, they're not – they don't – because of their kind of greedy mana base, like, even the 4-color Discovery deck can't really afford to play Cavern of Souls. So, they can board 2 in. They're playing them in the board. But that's pretty rough. I think they're also playing like Mirror Shell Crab as like some counter mana out of the 4-color deck list. But like, I think Spirits is a great pick right now. I hate to say it, Control's probably a good pick.
I will always tell you that if you are one of the people that, you know, we present Pioneer as entertaining, we present a lot of the Pioneer aspects that are like, hey, fun, a great intro to competitive. I say it every single week. Control is not the deck for you. You are just going to time out, you know, and make people irritated along the way. I think it's good, but again, I think unless you're a master, it just even as good as it might be, there's other decks you can play. But I agree with you. Control seems to be doing very, very well in this metagame, and the Lotus Control version seems to be doing fine still.
Yeah.
So
I just think like, all right, let's have our honest talk here. I think, and then we'll move on to Doesn't Slap here to kind of round things off, send people off.
Let's do it.
On their Black Friday special. I know, I'm sorry we didn't have the Black Friday special this year. I don't think there's actually that whole lot of great release sales going on right now. Because I mean,
there's not. I found 2 things that I can quickly go over real quick if you want to hit them. It's accessories. I think it's Amazon has the penny sleeves on sale for half price. You get a 500 count, and then you can get a 100 count of top loaders for like $2 as well. And that's like more than half off, I want to say. So if you're listening today on Friday, that still should still be going on given how late we're recording this. So those are 2 accessories ones that I would get just because those supplies are pretty awesome. Have not seen much else, but we'll probably do a later holiday gift special. But
yeah,
Friday stuff seems
The Black Friday stuff's pretty weak. I know also just like people are asking prices. If you can find like LCI collector boxes for like, I think 200 is like 220, 200 is like a pretty good sweet spot. I think the sets get pretty decent value for a little bit. So now's the time to jump on it. Of course, there's no financial advice, but I mean, I just don't think Magic is that great on if you're trying to be a Pioneer player looking for deals. It's be a lot of like older sets or like commander decks and stuff like that, right?
Right. Seen a lot of commander deck specials. I have seen.
Yeah. So if you're looking for some commander decks you missed out on, it'd be a good time to pick some of those up. Anyway, so let's quickly talk about what we are going to do about the Discover decks. Number one, we are not going to just yell at mommy daddy wizards to ban the cards. I think, yes, this combo is very strong. I do not like that this combo helps creep, especially the rock nerd build. I am afraid of how much this speeds up the format. I think Pioneer is already kind of edging into a little too fast for my blood. Because when we talk about like format speeds, right? I think Pioneer should be like a turn 5, turn 6 format. You know, you can have your lucky Grease Fang hands that get turn 4. And I think like you can have games where you realize things are kind of over by turn like 4, right? But I think I want Pioneer to kind of be like a turn 5, 6, the occasional outlier turn 4 format, right? And so
Nate Grease Fangs me on turn 3 every single time. So well, I will tell you that the I'm more tolerable of the Appraiser deck just based on how often I get turn 3 with Grease Fang, but you know.
Sure. I just think that, like I just think turn 3 is too fast. Sure. For kind of like the general Pioneer deck. And I think also like people are going to come like it's the new hotness, right? So it's everywhere, right?
Yeah.
People are trying to find the right builds. There's RCs coming up. There's going to be 3 RCs next weekend. And of course, we have the US RC in a few weeks here. So people are just going to be practicing, trying the new hotness, trying to see what beats it. And you know what beats it? Not tapping out. Look, I feel for the people who are like, yeah, but like how does mono white humans beat this deck list? Well, you're already playing Destroy Evil, and you know what you can just replace Destroy Evil with? Get Lost. Like,
you can't be mean to the listeners, Ruckman. You can't tell them to get lost, you know?
Well, no, Chris. They need to play the magic card, Get Lost.
Oh, they need to play the magic card. Okay.
Yeah.
What's that in Spanish? In Spanish, it's go to hell, right?
Yes.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
Because I love Get Lost is this is me galaxy braining our top card picks, because Get Lost is the answer to both versions of this combo. You right. can destroy the Geo Appraiser, you can destroy the Quintorius, right?
This is true.
It's perfect. Don't let people keep up the fallacy that you can't interact in Pioneer. Look, we all want to tap out and do our sweet fun things, right? But when we have more decks like this coming around, you just can't do that anymore. And that's not a bad thing. I'm sure that's not the magic everyone wants to play. But sometimes when you get pushed down, you got to get tough.
Sure. I think that it's, you know, combo decks can be fine. And again, I think I'm going to take the firm stance of we don't know yet. Right. We don't know yet. Let's see how people adapt. Let's see how people want to adapt. You know, I was a big fan of banning Teferi, not because it was the most overpowered card, but because it was the dumbest card that was being allowed to play. Sure. You had to play Hearthstone. You no longer got to play Magic cards. I think it was stupid. I still think Karn's stupid and needs to go, just because I think it is unfun, right? I don't think it's good for the game. So I think that I would be all about some arguments. Hey, listen, this combo, you know, I can make treasure tokens and pump it out on turn 3, and I don't like that. And if it's prevalent enough, I could be convinced to agree. Right. But right now, I think I want to see how it plays out, because I am absolutely farming these decks right now on Arena, and Daddy wants some free wins. OK, yeah. I want all these free wins I can take with Mono Black. And other decks.
I think let's see what happens with the rest of the RCs.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with the rest of the challenges going forward? Like, if we're still seeing challenge top 34s be very diverse, I'm not worried. Yes, right. The decks are all over leagues, because why? They're an easy deck just to grind out leagues with. Yep. They're also the new hotness.
The new hotness.
Of course you're going to run into these decks, but let's not freak out just yet.
Right. I want to quit paying Paris Hilton her royalties by saying that's hot. So
that's hot. That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. What else? What else is in this? Do we have anything else? Any kind of fun outlying finishes here? 22nd place Amalia combo.
Yep, Amalia combo I think is real. I just think it's less cute. Like, it's fun to just – cascading is fun. I don't care what anybody tells you. That's why it's attracted modern. And again, if you're a modern player, please don't leave because we make fun of modern. You are welcome here. This is a safe place away from the scam, right? You actually play against different decks when you play your leagues, when you play your locals. Locals would be full of brews if and when you can find them. Ours used to be, you know, 20 plus people. It used to be the most popular format in both the cities that I was in. So, you know, again, this is a safe space.
Now we all got replaced by Commander.
We're going to we're going to jostle you a little bit, right? We're going to give you a little bit of a hard time, but not too much of a hard time.
We're going to rustle your jimmies.
We're going to rustle your jimmies, but you are welcome here. We absolutely welcome you. Please reach out and say, "Hey, refugee modern player here, and I like the Discover combo. Good for you." And if that's the case, and if it's bringing modern players to Pioneer because you love cascading, I'm all about it, you know?
All right, let's take a look at some deck lists that were sent to by our own community, though.
Let's do that. Let's see.
Chris, do you want to summon the theme song for me?
You know, if you're new to this podcast, because maybe your format is absolute garbage and unplayable right now, and so you've come to Pioneer, we have a tradition on the show, which is every once in a while we ask our amazing listeners to supply us with deck lists that we will rate with a slap rating in a segment known as Does It Slap?
All right, we got some fun deck lists set in. Our first deck list is going to come from Amal GG, who says, "It was fun and limited. We're all in Turbo Captain. Ooh. Vampires and pirates and merfolk and dinosaurs. Oh, my." If only Ricky was here, because Ricky was trying this out, too. So we got 3 Benthic Biomancer, 3 Fanatical Firebrand, 3 Greedy Freebooter, 3 Knight of the Ebon Legion, 3 Merfolk Secret Keeper, 3 Vodaran Epicure, 3 Nest Robber, 1 Rampaging Spike Tail, 1 Seismic Monstrosaur, 1 Marauding Brine Fang, 4 Fatal Push, 4 Thoughtseize, 4 Throne of the Grim Captain.
There it is. Here's our combo piece. Throne of the Grim Captain, in case you don't know, it's two colorless mana for a legendary artifact. We can tap to mill 2 cards. And then for 4 mana, we can craft with a dinosaur, a merfolk, a pirate, and a vampire to make a 7/7 Menace Trample Lifelink hexproof. Whenever it attacks, each opponent sacrifices a non-land permanent. Then you may put an exiled creature used to craft the Grim Captain onto the battlefield under your control, tapped and attacking. Hence some of these big creatures we got in here in order to craft with. So, yeah, this deck, it seems like a lot of fun, right? We get to, you know, the big thing is you can craft from the yard. That's why we are playing Merfolk Secret Keeper here in order to mill some stuff. And a little bit of interaction, right? A little Fatal Push, a little Thoughtseize action. It does seem to me like this would be a really, really good deck for our newest Doomblade here. Our newest 2-mana destroy creature or planeswalker, discard a card. Since we get to craft with our cards from the yard, right? This would be a list that could take advantage of that and maybe not be limited by the Fatal Push, since we don't have a ton of ways. Oh, never mind. We're pretty good at triggering Revolt. Fanatical Firebrand and then Voldaren Epicure. So we've got options. We got Baking Soda, you know?
That's right.
2-mana, 2/1 haste dinosaurs, probably some other dinosaurs we can play.
Well, it's all one drops, except for the Nest Robber, and then the Nest Robber is
the Nest Robber is 2.
It's haste. And then we got the singular ones that just let us cycle away, right? To go find our lands.
Yep. I probably want the 4th Epicure. We have a lot of really bad cards we want to be discarding in order to find our Throne of the Grim Captain. And of course, Grim Captain can also help us mill, but you don't need a second one. So again, another great reason to play or discard a card in order to destroy any creature. So I think this is fun, right? Ricky had the same idea and was jamming with this. What do you want to give this as a rating? Or do you want me to go first, Ruckman?
I'm going to go ahead and give this a dinosaur, a merfolk, and a pirate out of what we need to craft this.
out of 4, huh?
Yeah.
All right, I am going to give this a 5/7 Menace Trample Lifelink Hexproof rating here. I'm a big fan of this deck. Not much I could say to improve it. We got a bunch of good-looking one-drops, and then I think the big change I would make is improve our removal suite by a little bit and then test it, see how we do, you know? So
sure.
Thank you to Amal. We love it when people respond to these challenges, and this is a really cool deck with some new cards, so I greatly appreciate it.
All right, so this one comes from Fastgrim. Which we've had some correction on this.
Okay,
we were really hyped the turn 2 win. Okay. Now we've realized we have a really, really specific turn 3 win. But this is Let's Play Yu-Gi-Oh! And this is a Rona build built around winning with Millennium Calendar.
Okay. The Millennium Calendar, of course, says when you untap one or more permanents during your untap step, that's the big one, right? During your untap step, put that many time counters on the Millennium Calendar, but you can pay two and tap it to double the number of time counters on Millennium Calendar, you know. And again, listen, I'm no math artist here. I'm no rocket surgeon.
That's right.
But I'm pretty sure even if we doubled the number one X number of times, we probably win in about 50 turns, you know?
Well, we don't need that, Chris, because we're playing the Paradox Engine.
The Paradox Engine? What's the Paradox?
Yeah, so the Paradox Engine is a 5-mana legendary artifact. Whenever you cast a spell, untap all non-land permanents you control. So while we've got our Rona combo going with our Retracting Helix and our Rona, and we're balanced and replaying this Mox Amber, right? We've got a copy of the Enigma Jewel in play, which taps for 2 mana to spend this mana only to activate abilities. And what happens that costs 2 mana, Chris?
Well, the Millennium Calendar costs 2 mana, Ruckman.
The Millennium Calendar costs 2 mana.
That's
so
how
if we so we speed out our Paradox Engine and then we start going up the calendar.
Yeah, we do. We start going up the calendar. It's going to become 2012 before you know it. And that's the end of time. Nothing happens after 2012.
Right.
The world
the calendar ends. Definitely doesn't reset after that.
It doesn't reset after that. The world just ends. So, hey, sweet. Sweet little Rona combo deck here using some new cards. Ruckman, what do you think the slap rating should be for
I'm gonna give this
Millennium Rona.
I'm going to give this a 900 years out of a total millennium.
I'm going to give this a 900 years out of a total lap like that. This is the most Yu-Gi-Oh deck because when I think millennium.
How many years we've played Magic, right?
It's how many years I've played Magic. I also think Yu-Gi-Oh, you know?
Yeah.
I also think Yu-Gi-Oh. I think Y2K. I'm going to give this 3 out of the 4 sunsets. That Teferi, who slows the sunsets, sees.
Somebody get this man some sunglasses. He's gonna go blind.
He's gonna go blind. He got a bored ape NFT and he went to the party. You know,
went to that party.
He went to that party.
Had unintended LASIK.
He's in trouble. I will dock a point because we misread these cards at first. So
yeah,
we'll say 2 out of 4 for the.
All right, this next one comes from KFH Photon Wolf, who sends us so they make the new set, but it spurred me to pick it back up again and tweak it. This was the deck I used when I first got into Pioneer, but put it away for a while. I waited for better pieces to cheat in. Oh, I think I know we're cheating in with this deck list now. Oh, we're not. Okay.
No, we're Ilharg. We're Ilharging.
Well, no. Well, I thought we were going to cheat in Galta.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, so this deck list is 3 Elvish Mystic, 4 Atali, Primal Conqueror, 3 Generator Servant, 3 Hulk King Raptor, 3 Ilharg the Razeboar, 3 Elysian Caryatid, 2 Lenore Elves, 4 Ogre Deepest Growth, which lets us kind of do the same thing as Ilharg, 3 Olgoth Troll, 3 Terror of the Peaks, 4 Trumpeting Karnasar, 2 Seething Written, 3 Fable of the River. I love Seething Written. That's a good card. That's a fun card. I'm worried we don't have enough lands, but I mean, we have like Generator Servant, I guess, kind of speeding us up here.
This is not enough lands. as a matter of fact, you are not. In fact, is it Phoenix who is going to see a bunch of stuff? And even with 5 elves, you unfortunately, this is a war crime. We cannot play 20 lands in this deck. We're gonna cry a lot of tears of the Carnarium, even. Yeah, but we've got a lot of really cool stuff we're doing here. We do need to make some room for lands. My vote is Old Growth Troll. I think those cards have no business here.
Yeah.
I don't think we can utilize those. That should just be 3 forests, right?
Sure.
3 forests, and I'm mostly happy. I'm with you in that I do think we missed Galta, particularly with a new big one. That's just like, hey, once I sneak this one in,
I can put my hand.
Yes, that Galta's not a cast, right? Is it a country play?
It should just be an ETB.
That's one thing we need to check before we go.
When it enters the battlefield.
Yes, of course it is. It enters the battlefield. I knew that. I didn't need to double check it. Yeah, I think that's the oversight here. I think I want to see a couple of those just so that we can get all of our other massive creatures that are stuck in our hand into play. We will hopefully have more than one, given it's mostly what we're doing besides elf stuff. So I like that. I probably want to see one more utility. I like Trumpeting Karnasar, but it's a new card. What are we discovering for 5? We can discover a Terror of the Peaks.
Yep.
Yeah, we can. Yes, yes, yes. And so I would like to also reduce the number of misses. So I'd like to take out, again, the old growth rolls for that. We can hit another O'Hare. We can hit another Ilharg. There's a lot of things that we can hit, although most of these are legendary. So, but you can put them to your hand. So if your first one dies, you can just cast the second one. So, yeah, I mean, I like Generator Servant. A lot of cards I like here. So, like everything, would like to see three more lands in favor of old growth trolls and Galta. What are you got any other thoughts, Ruckman?
Yeah, no, I definitely think Galta, I think we can just also just put in some big dumb idiots. Like, I see this Titan of Industry in the sideboard, right? Like, we could bring in stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, what is Itali? What's the new Itali do?
New Itali is the one that gets cast stuff. We get our opponents. I think that's cool. I think Itali is a playful win. We get our opponents' cards. We get our cards. That's a cool one. Good. I think that's a great include.
All right, yeah.
I like most of the cards we've included.
Yeah, I just think, like, let's put some new Galta in here, right? Let's have some fun. We could probably cut Hulking Raptor.
I'm a fan of keeping that. It's a new card, which gives you flavor, and it gives you two extra manas, you know? Yeah. It's harder to kill than a random elf, so, like, it's pretty make sure that we're gonna get our thing, so.
Yeah. But I played against a similar deck list at an RCQ once, and when this deck gets going, it's really scary.
Yeah. You get wrecked pretty hard here when you're just like, uh-oh, right? Because you get the five pretty quick, so.
Yeah, true. Ow, stop it. Get out of here.
Maggie wants a piece.
What do you want to rate this?
I will give this a 7 out of 6, which is the power and toughness on Trumpeting Carnosaur.
Okay. I'm going to give this a... How many peaks do you think Terror of the Peaks, like, actively terrorizes? Like, how big of a mountain range do you think?
I mean, like, he's got to go grocery shopping. He's got to pick up his kids from his ex-wife, you know? Like, I think a maximum of, like, 10 peaks, you know?
Peaks. Okay. I'm going to say 7 out of 10 peaks, the Terror of the Peaks.
7 out of peaks, 10 peaks.
Resides over, yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good.
All right, let's move on to Big Dumpy Graveyard Deck from Binksaki. So we got 4 Deathrite Shaman, 4 Stalactite Stalker, 4 Stitcher Supplier, 4 Feed Artisan, 2 Old Stick Fingers, 4 Seder Wayfinder, 4 Souls Lost, 2 Urborg Lurgoyf, 2 The Myco Tyrant. I see what we're doing here.
Yeah.
4 Witherbloom Command, 4 The Huntsman's Redemption.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Souls of the Lost. I think that this card could potentially see play in Greasefang because the only spells you're really rocking are maybe some Can't Stay Aways, Thought Seizes, and a lot of decks are moving away from even like Witherbloom Command to some extent.
Yeah.
A lot of your other stuff are permanents, whether or not you're playing Liliana, Shieldred, your vehicles are all permanents, right?
Right.
So I think Souls of the Lost is looking to make some moves here. And I'm a big fan of the card. Otherwise, we're just a dump creatures into the yards deck.
We're a big dumpy graveyard.
We're a big dumpy graveyard deck, and nothing could make me happier. You know, I think that I'm a big fan. Of course, we've got Huntsman's Redemption, which is a brewer's favorite. Witherbloom Command to kill off those pesky Tormod's Whips. Right. We don't want people messing with our graveyard. You know, we're hands off that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'll be honest. There's not much I want to change here other than if we are playing blue. We are not, so we're not going to play the Cruel Somnophage, so we are going to stick with our Urborg Lurgoyf and whatever we have currently to mill stuff. So, yeah, I'm a fan. Witherbloom Command mills some stuff with Witherbloom Command. Yeah, mills 3 cards. I see, yeah. I mean, it all adds up to me. I don't see anything that I'm really like, oh, wow, you know, we're obviously missing this. We're playing some new cards for cuteness. We got Deathrite Shaman, which is pretty cool. The only thing, again, if you really wanted to play a little bit more interaction, you could play the new card. People just don't like the Bitter Triumphs. They're not listening. They're not fans out here.
They're listening to me, and they know it's all Cope.
They're listening to you
all the way down.
Yep. All right. What are you thinking here, Rickman?
So, you know, I'm looking at Fiend Artisan, right? And he's an up and coming artist, and I just wanted everyone to know that he recently sold a nice little bone sculpture. For $85,000.
Dang, he's right.
And that's my slap rating.
Okay, that's your slap rating, $85,000. Okay, I love it. How many fingers do you think Old Stick Fingers has?
Not as many as you'd want because they're old and falling off.
Probably like 69?
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Okay, I'm going to give this 45 out of the 69 fingers that old stick fingers has.
Okay, all right. Our next one comes from a new member of the patron of the Discord server and a new patron as well. Fulgrim sends us green black fight rigging. So we're gonna go ahead and pull it. 4 Elvish Mystic, 1 Glissa Sunslayer, 4 Llanowar Elves, 4 Pugnacious Hammer Skull.
New Dino.
Yeah. We're gonna play 4 Rotting Regisaur, 3 Shakedown Heavy, 2 the Tarrasque, 4 Titanith Rex, 4 Fight Rigging, 1 Virtue of Persistence, 4 Fatal Push, 4 Thoughtseize.
I like it.
I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
Where's New Galta at?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I would like to replace Titanith Rex with New Galta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have played against this deck. They played New Galta. They promptly put a million creatures into play that I could not not deal with all of them, and I was dead. And I was like, oh wow, yeah, we just get this nonsense going. So that's a new card that I would like to see. I do like Virtue of Persistence.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, if your opponent is interacting with us, one, we get a removal spell, and then on the backside, right, we just get to be a Pearl of Phyrexia type situation. So, big fan of Glissa Sunslayer. Huge include to go after my heart. You're going to get bonus points for that, because obviously I love Glissa Sunslayer. I think it's one of the strongest creatures in Pioneer. I don't know how much sense it makes here, but you know, when we're playing against other fight rigging decks,
that's right,
it's OP. Because then we get to destroy their fight rigging, and we're the fight's rigged in our favor.
We're defining the meta now, and we need to watch out these other fight rigging deck lists.
That's exactly right. Yes, so we need to set that up.
We can also first strike Death Touch down some Nerds with Rocks.
Yes, we can. Yes, we could do that if we need to. So, big fan of that. Obviously, if we fight rigging, we do get to cast the spell.
That's right.
I believe. So that's, you know, that's going to make our Tarrasque stronger, which is a cute one. Mm-hmm. And Cantu attacks fights. Yeah. Big, like it. This is a similar list to some of the things I've seen. A couple new upgrades there that I like. Interesting sideboard. Okay. I'm ready to give this a slap rating. I'm a fan. Yeah, I just want to swap out the Rexes for some amount of Galtas and maybe two more. I want to swap. I don't think we need to be that big on the Fatal Push. Fatal Push is good, but you need to be able to kill 3-2 creatures and Quintoriuses and things like that. So Fatal Push, it doesn't cut it in this new world we live in.
Yeah.
So let's play 2 Fatal Push and take out 2 Titanic Rex to play Galta and then go 4 Bitter Triumph, right? Or 4 whatever removal spell you like, Assassin's Trophy. I don't care. You know, something to interact well with the new world that we live in.
Mm-hmm, so, for sure. All right, what do you want to give this?
What do I want to give this? I want to give this a Come hide away with me 3 out of hide away 5.
Mm-hmm. I've been handed a note here by some Shakedown Heavies, and the note says, this deck is the best deck I have ever seen. Yep. I am not being forced to say this against my will, and this deck gets a 10 out of 10 Tarrasque power and toughness.
I love it. Perfect. Perfect 10 out of 10. Somebody had to get it, you know?
Yeah. All right, here we go. This is from current crew 3 champion Jay Dizzle.
Champ.
Sends us Pioneer Fish.
Let's sit up straight and pay our respects to the crew 3 Pioneer champion.
All right, we got 4 sent out scout, 4 deep rooted. This is the one I was talking about with the play with our benthic biomancer here.
Yes,
4 Fiora's follower. Here we go. The follower, 4 Kumena Speaker, 2 Kumena Tyrant of Raska, 4 Merfolk Mistbinder, 4 Silvergill Adept, 1 Thassa's Oracle, 4 Vildalion Hedgecatcher, 4 Collected Company, 1 Springleaf Drum, 4 Deeper Builder. So, of course, here, this is what I was talking about earlier when I said, if we just have 2 copies of Kiora's Follower in play with our Deeper Pilgrimage out, we just get to make infinite Merfolk.
Yep. Draw infinite cards with Kumena. Our
Kumena, and then we get Thassa's Oracle to win.
We are asking for a lot. We need 2 Kiora's Followers, a Deep Root Pilgrimage in play, and a Kumena, which we only have 2 of. And we go. Now, to be fair, we don't have Kumena. We're probably winning with 2 followers and a Deep Root Pilgrimage.
Yes.
Right. We're probably still winning that way. We made a million 1-1 tokens. We probably don't need the Kumina in play. But yeah, I'm the littlest surprised we didn't get cute and play like two clone effects.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like, just Glasswell Mimic is so easy to fit in with our companies.
Yeah, right, exactly right. It's easy to fit in with our company. So, like, that's maybe the only oversight that I see. Otherwise, the champ has done us well.
Yeah.
The champ has done us well.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the only comment I have, right? We've got a fleshed out sideboard, fleshed out lands. There was love put into this Merfolk deck.
Yeah.
This isn't just somebody who picked up the Merfolk and you know, and adopted it on the side and then was like, oh no, I can't really have these Merfolk. I've got Merfolk at home and they don't like other Merfolks. Yeah. You know, I've got my Typal Jack of choice and they just don't get along. I got to put this stuff. Does anybody want this deck? You know, I need a foster fam. I've only fostered it. I can't take it in. Yeah. You know, this was somebody who picked up the Merfolk and has loved it. So they found it eating in the Wendy's trash can.
Yeah.
And I've loved it ever since then.
Look, my first type of family can't fight about my Merfolk type of family.
Right.
The first type of wife will only believe that I need to go to Paris for my Best Buy manager job once or twice a year. It's not going to work every other week.
Right, right, right. Good luck if you're still following us on these analogies here. But yeah, this is somebody who put some thought in. I really, really like it again, other than I'd like to see maybe some Glasspool Mimics to hit with those companies, like you said. So I am going to give this deck a perfect 1 out of 1 for the Fidalian Hexcatcher power in toughness.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, look, I respect our champion immensely.
So yes.
I'm going to give this an infinite out of infinite deeper pilgrimage tokens that we can make.
There you go. You should have given it a 69-420 out of infinity. Yeah. Missed opportunity, of course.
All right. Our last deck list here is, Cactus Juice giving us Splinter Fin.
Oh, this is just the deck with Glasspool Mimics.
Yeah.
I love it. We had the same idea here. Well, yeah. I mean,
hold on.
Okay.
This is some tech, though. It's also one Agatha's Soul Cauldron.
Yeah.
So our deeper elite can make anything into a Kiora's follower.
Oh. It's like I always say, if you throw one Agatha Soul Cauldron into a deck, you just always look like a genius, right? Everybody's always like, oh, you know, nobody ever questions it like my one of Siege Rhinos.
Yeah.
You know, and people go, yeah, why do you have Siege Rhino in your mono white deck, you idiot? First of all, don't call me an idiot. I don't even know you. Second of all, not the case with Agatha Soul Cauldron, right? You always look smart. And of course, in this case, it makes a ton of sense. Yeah, this is kind of the change, other than I'd maybe like one more, if I can get so greedy.
We're also not winning off of Thassa's Oracle anymore.
Yeah, we probably, again, need one of those in here as well. Because I do feel like that's an easy way to potentially get there, especially now that we have more ways to make things into Kiora's followers.
I'm just saying, I don't want to make infinite guys and then just have my infinite guys get settled.
Yeah, I'm just saying I don't want to wait for our lives
to be over. That's right. Yeah.
You knew where I was going with that. So otherwise, I love the Splinter Fin. Deck is a great name. Also. We've won. So, man, what do you have for slap ratings here?
I'm going to give this an infinite plus one because this is just our this is the next evolution.
This is the next evolution.
This is the little brother shows up and he's like, oh yeah, well I'm infinity plus one.
I wish I knew about more evolutionary theory than I do.
Watch Dragon Ball Evolution. That'll lay it all out for you.
Yeah, I don't want to be. I think we give this a 69-421. Tokens we're gonna make with Deep Root Pilgrimage and say great ideas, guys. Both really, really good decks and really, really like it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that will do it for this thrilling rendition of Does Stuff. We'll be back probably here in the next few months with some other challenge. I mean, I don't think we'll probably have another one before Karlov comes out, but expect another brew episode when Karlov comes out. Points if you can guess early who the murderer is going to be, and you can't tell me it's not Masker Girl. I'm pretty sure the murderer is Masker Girl. It's kind of in her name.
No, it was Colonel Mustard.
It's Colonel Mustard.
It's always Colonel Mustard.
All right, that will do it, Chris, for this week. Unless you Got anything else for the people?
No.
Any final thoughts for the people who are going to battle out some RCs this weekend? Besides, hey, don't freak out. It's pack removal.
Yeah, no. I mean,
instant speed interaction.
Have lots of fun. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the engagement on Twitter. The people that have been hanging out, having some fun, chatting about Godfrey's gift, and just loving the show and hanging out with us and giving us some feedback. So thanks. And again, we love when people submit. I love even more submissions, but this worked out perfectly the amount of time that we had. And the submissions we got were really well thought out. So again, thanks a ton for the people that go to our Discord, which is – how much does it cost to join our Discord, Ruckman?
Oh, the Discord is free 99.
Free $0 it costs to come join
$0.
A community of other Pioneer players and chat about
just to remind everyone, because I get asked for people to join the Patreon asking how to join the Discord. Anyone, like I said, anyone can join the Discord. If you're a Patreon member, you get access to the mailbag, which we'll talk about here in a second, and a Patreon only channel. But there is a link below in the episode description. If you're listening on to your favorite podcast provider, or hopefully starting this week, we'll be back with the video version. So
that's right.
There's always a link to join the Discord attached to these episodes that go up. And if the links for whatever reason are just going to be dead, they should all work though. So if there are issues with the links, let me know and we can go ahead.
He's actually good at technology, so he knows how to embed those links through the series of tubes that I call the interwebs.
Run out of the ocean.
Yes, that's one of the ocean.
That Al Gore made.
Thank you, Al Gore. Here's to you. I toast my soda that I'm drinking.
Toast to Man Bear Pig himself.
To Man Bear Pig himself.
Just be sure to join it. A couple other things. If you are a Patreon member, and let's talk about this, patreon.com/MTG, surrogate tiers available. Like I said, it was pointed out, I mentioned last week, that we were behind on our exclusives. Well, Chris and I recorded an exclusive that went up earlier this week. It was a really fun one where we got to talk about nine of the most important Magic cards to us and sort of what they mean, the story behind them. Who was it?
We got personal.
I was a wonderful conversation. Fastgrim also jumped into the Patreon channel and was sharing their 3x3 square. So if you're a patron, be sure to jump in and share us your 3x3 card as well and why those mean so much to you. It's, I think, a really fun thing to talk about, discuss. We'll have one more before November's over to kind of round up things there. I'm working on more videos to go up that will debut on the Patreon before they make their way to YouTube. So, hey, sign up early for the Patreon. Sign up for the Patreon to see videos early. Those are all going to be on our $5 tier or higher.
Sign up mostly because you like us and want to support this. Secondarily, because you get stuff.
You get stuff. Like the swag bag, if you join the $15 US or $20 international tier, the international is a little bit higher just to help cover shipping costs, right? We send all kinds of fun stuff here. I'm hoping our cards for November get here on time. If not, they might be a little delayed in going out. But of course, all tiers do get access to the Patreon mailbag where you can ask a question that sounds something like this. This one comes from El Capi 7, who asks, looking at the Aquaria companions, for each of you, which one is your spirit animal?
I've never been asked a better question.
Uh-huh.
Especially when it comes to like astrological signs.
Sure.
I did go on a date a long time ago with a very lovely person. And then they were big into the astrology sign stuff.
Did they ask what time you were born?
Basically.
Yeah.
Because they were like a water horse or something like that.
Okay.
And as cool as that was, it just was not my vibe. I shouldn't say the word. I'm too old to say the word vibe. I'm way too old to say that word. But it wasn't my thing. But they were really cool. We remained friends. This is the kind of question I want to be asked. Right here. What is my Aquarius companion? I don't know that I have an answer off the top of my head. What do you think yours is, Ruckman? you an answer?
I'm just Umori. I'm just out here collecting shiny math rocks.
Yeah.
Everyone forgot about him.
Yeah. I want to say I'm between two, right? Karuga.
I want to say I'm Lutri because Lutri is fun, adorable, and cute, right? See,
that's the thing. I also want to say Lutri because I want to say I'm fun and adorable.
We're not all Lutri.
But we can't all be Lutri. Not everybody can be a Lutri, statistically speaking, you know?
Really? I'm definitely a Karuga.
Right.
You know, I'm just fat as
I am also a dinosaur hippo. and so I probably should identify most with Karuga. You know, some people out there that are gonna identify with Lurrus because they're banned from a lot of places, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where some people are gonna identify. But yeah, I think I wanna say Lutri because I think that's fun. But you know, secondarily Karuga. How about that?
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for the question, Cappy. We'll get Ricky's when he's back on the show next time. But yeah, so of course, like I said, patreon.com/crew3mtg. Lots of other things going up. And yeah, like I said, hopefully this week we'll start. I was hoping to get last week to be the start of the video podcast coming back, but we just had a lot of fun with my wife for her birthday. We were very, very tired after spending a whole day at the Ren Faire.
Yes.
So that was a lot of fun. So video podcast will be starting up hopefully this week. It's not going to be out by the time you hear the audio version. This is going to come out probably on Monday.
Thanksgiving.
Yes. The audio will come out. The video version will be out probably on Monday or Tuesday, kind of like how we did last time. Audio comes out first. You get the video a few days later. Like I said, we're going to start up more video content. Ricky's been streaming kind of on Wednesday evenings, Wednesday nights. And then I'm going to start streaming here in the next couple of weeks on Sunday at early afternoons for a little bit. The streams are kind of going to not probably be always Magic. I'm just going to stream some other stuff, some random stuff. I don't know if you know this, but the Bluey video game came out, and I think we're going to play some Bluey. We're going to just have a lot of fun and just join, just chill out, have fun, play things non-Magic. Because, you know, there's more. We love Pioneer. We love Magic. There's more than there's Magic out there.
That's right.
So be sure to jump in and check out all the content we have coming up. VODs will be made available over on the YouTube channel, crew3.com, or youtube.com/crew3mtg. And like I said, we're going to start making more video content exclusive for YouTube, but we'll go up on Patreon first if you are part of that exclusive at the $5 tier or above tier there. So, Chris, I mean, anything else before we sign off here and just say, once again, thank you everyone for tuning in, week out. We are 202 episodes and still going strong.
No, thank you everybody for listening. You know, I've loved all 202 episodes of it. And thank you guys, and we'll see you next week.
That's right. We'll see y'all next week. And of course, if you did donate to our Extra Life campaign, I have the supplies I need to get things mailed out. So those will be going out this weekend as well. So if you have, I know some of our bigger donors, you will get tracking info. I'm going to send that to you if you gave us your contact info and the little thing I had you fill out when you donated. So awesome. Be sure to look out for that info as well. We'll talk to y'all next week. Bye.
Bye.